You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Thursday, June 6, 2013. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Can you hear me now? On the program today, Marcy Wheeler of EmptyWheel.net on this massive revelation by Glenn Greenwald, with contributing help from Spencer Ackerman, in The Guardian. The first, to my mind, as far as I know, the first leaked order from the NSA via the Patriot Act to hoover up all of the metadata, all of the phone records from every single Verizon customer, I believe, we'll talk to Marcy about this, in the country over a three-month period. In fact, it is ongoing until July 17th of this year. Yes, they can hear you now. Also on the program today, ding dong, the grand bargain is dead. CAP, Center for American Progress, exits the building. And, well, we'll talk more about that. Immigration reform also on life support. We will discuss the trials and tribulations of immigration reform. New report showing that, surprise, surprise, Republicans are not doing so well with young people. And they're, in fact,
what?
Let me restate that. They are doing horribly with young people.
Are you sure you're reading that correctly?
My daughter loves spinach. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Also, a heartwarming tale.
Well, spinach more than Republicans.
Of an atheist who made the mistake of trying to offer an invocation at the beginning of the Arizona State Legislature session. George Bush, we'll get to that George Bush interview as well. First off, the New York State Senate yesterday passed a bill that creates a crime of aggravated harassment of a police or peace officer. The bill, S-2402, sponsored by Senator Joe Griffo, from Rome, New York, would make it a felony to harass, annoy, a felony to harass or annoy or threaten a police officer while on duty. Annoy. The bill establishes this crime as a Class E felony punishable by up to 4 years in prison. Did you hear what I said? A felony punishable by 4 years in prison if you annoy a cop. This is just unbelievable. The Utica Police Department Chief Mark Williams: all too often persons are physically challenging police officers in the line of duty. Now understand, If you can tell me what physically challenged means, I'll give you a cookie. It doesn't mean physically assault. It means challenge. So don't come around here being, you know, big or looking like you may know karate. Then currently those instances when an officer is physically attacked, short of sustaining a physical injury or any type of physical confront, the lawful charge is only a violation. Threats, intimidation, and physical force used upon our police officers. You see, what I mean, the law says annoy. So you go out and you are protesting, that's annoying. I'm not getting overtime for this. I'm annoyed because of you. 4 years in jail for a Class E felony. This is going to the assembly. I don't even know how to respond to this if this passes. This is just shocking.
This will absolutely destroy anyone's right to record the police. Just record them and they can go, you're annoying me.
There is just about anything that the cop could say, I'm finding this annoying.
I object to being stopped and frisked right now. Well, frankly, I find that annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. So if you live in New York State, call your assembly person and just tell them this is absurd. I'm shocked this passed the Senate. Shocked. I guess.
I find it annoying.
I know. I'm annoyed by it. All right, folks. We're going to talk to Marcy Wheeler. I went back and forth. Glenn Greenwald, you'll recall, when he was on this program 2 weeks ago, had mentioned cryptically he was working on something like this that could very well get him in trouble with the Department of Justice. There's every reason to believe that he will be investigated by the Department of Justice for this, as well as Spencer Ackerman. I have been in email contact with both those guys within the past month, in which case there's every reason to believe that my information will be hoovered up, and I've been in contact with Matt and Michael over that time, obviously, which have reason to believe that their information will be hoovered up. In which case, it's going to make it very hard for you guys to get a job somewhere else. In which case, that means that we're going to be talking about renegotiating your wages. Downward pressure. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. We are back on the Majority Report on the phone. It's a pleasure to welcome to the program Marcy Wheeler. She is the proprietor of EmptyWheel.net. Welcome to the program, Marcy.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Marcy, let's get into this. You are, I consider you to be one of the most well-versed people on the internets, and well, maybe in the worlds on this type of stuff. And your digging into this is frankly legendary at least in the circles that I run in. But so let's talk about it. Will you please outline for us what it is that Glenn Greenwald published at The Guardian?
What it is called a Section 215 order, which is part of the Patriot Act, which allows the government to get any tangible thing. It used to be called the Business Records Act, but now any tangible thing, including physical stuff, so long as they're using it for a counterintelligence or counterterrorism purpose, and they can prove the information is needed because it is, quote, relevant to an investigation. And many of us have been suspecting and pointing to abundant evidence that what they've actually been doing is saying, we need to collect a dragnet of information and use it to data mine to find the terrorists in a haystack effectively. And what Glenn published last night was the order that shows that the government is doing just that, at least for Verizon Business Services customers.
Now,
for a three-month period.
Now, and the three-month period is actually ongoing right now.
As we speak.
And so now Verizon Business Services, I've noticed in your writing and on Twitter, you were going back and forth in terms of what is Verizon Business Services? Does that mean just business, or is that some type of company that's just their official title and that's basically everybody's stuff?
I actually think this is just a subset of Verizon's customers, so they're business customers, right?
Okay.
But what we don't know is whether this is the order of the kind that's out there, or whether there are the other orders that are exactly identical to, for example, Verizon Wireless, to AT&T Wireless, to your phone carrier, my phone carrier, T-Mobile, and what have you. So that's one question we don't know, but it does show definitively that they are doing dragnet collection and focusing on Americans. They actually said, don't give us the information that's entirely overseas. We only want something that involves at least one side in the United States.
All right. So now, and you were speculating this particularly, I think it was months ago when there was an exchange when the NSA head, Keith Alexander, was on the Hill. I guess this is last March.
March of 2012, yeah.
And there was an exchange between Keith Alexander and Congressman Hank Johnson where the NSA denied that it was seeking these type of dragnets. And at that time, you speculated that, in fact, this was sort of parsing because the FBI was seeking this and basically routing it to the NSA.
Precisely. After Bush's illegal wiretap program was exposed in 2005, that happened the day before the Patriot Act was coming up for renewal, and they actually postponed the renewal of it until March. So came up in December, they postponed it in March. And in March, they actually put some language into place that addresses Section 215. So that was the first hint that they moved parts of the illegal actually, there was an earlier hint, but that was one of the hints that they were moving the illegal program using Section 215 into FBI to NSA, just like it's now been confirmed they're doing.
So when the FBI seeks this information, they don't need to go through what kind of processes do they need to go through? In other words, do they need to go and go to the FISA court? I mean, they've moved this because they're doing an end around, right? I mean, is that basically it?
It's not precisely an end around. I mean, it is a legal, a very thin legal sanction for this that Congress has bought off on. I mean, Congress has on three different occasions prevented people from including language saying you can only get information on somebody tied to a terrorist. You can't get it for everybody. So three times Congress has said we want this kind of dragnet to be possible under Section 215. Basically all it is it gives legal sanction to dragnet that was happening illegally up until 2006.
And so this is not, I mean, they're not, I mean, so people should be clear here. They're not investigating terrorists. They are investigating really everybody who's caught up in this. And we don't know whether or not what we're seeing is really just sort of, basically the tip of the iceberg, right? I mean, this one order under 215 could be indicative of orders for every other phone carrier, for every other division of every other phone carrier, et cetera, et cetera. And so they're investigating everybody.
They're claiming that they can find terrorists by doing data analysis of dragnet collected information. So, I mean, let me give you an example of one of the first times I realized how they were actually using Section 215. Back in 2009, Najib Elazadeh was the guy who was going to attack the New York subway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when the government went to a judge and said, you need to keep him in custody, they said two of his associates bought hydrogen peroxide, large amount, like not unusually large, but about big bottles of hydrogen peroxide in beauty supply stores in Aurora. That's their basis for holding him in custody. Turns out they were completely innocent. Those probably Muslims buying hydrogen peroxide never showed up again in the case against Zazi. But it made clear to me what they had done was collect records of everybody in Aurora, Colorado.
Marcy, hold on for 1 second. Hold that thought. Let me call you right back because we're just the connection's not very good. Let me call you right back on this.
Okay.
All right, let's try that again. So so these two guys who were buying hydrogen peroxide turned out to be completely innocent of any activity, any relationship even.
Right. And the what appears to be, and Roller went on to confirm they were using...
Marcy, I'm sorry. We're still... You're breaking up. Do you want to... is there a phone that we can reach you on? Do you want to send me an email with that phone number? I can't hear your response, but if there's a phone number...
Yeah, you can... go ahead, do that. I just had
okay.
to.
Okay, okay, great. All right, we'll call you right back on that. Sorry, folks. Bear with us.
Technology.
Yeah, I think
let's not be deluding ourselves. Think about it.
Okay, will you turn my back up?
You're up.
Marcy? Bear with us, folks. Marcy?
Here I am.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right. That sounds, I think we're going to do a little better on this. Okay. So now in this instance where you have a suspect who's being held in custody, the feds say hold this suspect in custody because he has associates, regardless of how far removed, who have bought iodine. Isn't that different, though? Because then, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, we have subject A, and we're going to basically investigate anybody that has ever come in contact with subject A. In this instance, aren't we seeing basically, we're going to investigate everybody. And if we see everybody here who has some type of pattern of behavior that might, I mean, this seems to be sort of like looking at everybody and then profiling in some respect.
Profiling based on your on the kind of calls you make, how long you stay on the calls. It may be that you also happen to be a big purchaser of hydrogen peroxide. They can also get, and Robert Mueller has said, they can also use these to get UPS data, to get FedEx data. So it may be how often you're sending stuff via FedEx. So they're basically developing profiles based on completely anonymized information you may have no tie to a terrorist, but because of your activity that you look suspicious, they're going to send some FBI guys to start investigating you. That's what they appear to be doing with this information. And that means that anybody, that you can become a suspect, a terrorist suspect very easily, or, you know, maybe not very easily, but based on this kind of crazy algorithm that may have nothing to actually do with terrorism, but has to do with the theory of what terrorists act like.
And in some respects, it seems to me that you're already, even prior to being a specific suspect, you're already, by the nature of the fact that you you are using a phone in this instance, you're already a subject of an investigation. I mean, it seems to me that the investigation starts the moment they start culling information about you. And then if the algorithm pops, then you're a suspect. And then you're off to the races. But again, to get this Section 215 order, what does the FBI have to do?
Almost nothing. I mean, all they have to do is prove that there's an investigation, and there is a standing terrorist investigation that is kind of the bucket that the FBI uses to put all of their general terrorist investigation stuff into. And then they have to argue to a judge that this is relevant to it. And given that they have convinced FISA court judges now for 7 years that this algorithm analysis actually does help them find terrorists, it's not clear that it does, but the judges have been told that, then it becomes relevant. And then they get to do this kind of dragnet. And that's all it takes. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't, that no specific tie to a terrorist is required.
And now, for some time, we've had Senators Merkley and Udall sending out signals saying that there's something that's happening that we know about, but we cannot articulate because it is classified. And we believe that it would shock the American public to know that this administration is interpreting the law in this way. Do you think this is what they've been talking about?
Yeah, but I think it's just a part of it. I mean, yes, I do. It is shocking that, I mean, there are a lot of people who have been kind of dismissing those of us who've been trying to raise some concerns for a long time. But it's, you know, it's not just that they're getting phone data. It's also that they're using your cell phone geolocation to get location data and to find out who you're meeting with, for example. It's, you know, it's, I think that's when it, I mean, this is shocking by itself, but there are also add-ons to this that we still don't know yet, which are also shocking.
And can you speculate, and I know this is, obviously, this is speculation. There's only so much we know about this, but can you speculate what's going on here? I mean, do you think this is just the standing order, every 90 days it comes up for review and one of these documents just happened to leak out? Or do you think that this is this is a function of a specific investigation? Do you think that, and if in the, and to the extent that it is a function of a specific investigation, do you think that they broaden it out in this way to sort of hide exactly what they're investigating? I mean, what do you think that this represents?
There are members of Congress who have already said, you know, we've been doing this for 6 or 7 years. They're talking back. They're talking about that change in March 2006. So they're basically saying in March 2006, we started this kind of collection. So it is possible that this is just one order to one provider indicating that this is going to everybody. I think it's also possible that this is tied to a specific investigation that, for example, might be, I mean, and I speculated the other day, I don't think this would be a Boston Marathon investigation, as many people have suggested, because of the timing. The original order was first signed April 19th, so when we first found the Tsarnaevs. For a variety of reasons, that doesn't make sense. But I think it could be, for example, a hacking investigation. Around the same time, the government started complaining about Iran hacking into our energy suppliers. And Verizon Network Business Services, which is where this order was sent to, does target the energy sector, does offer to help set up smart grids for its customers. And so that's the kind of information you think they might use to try and locate where the hackers were finding from, just as an example.
Briefly, why don't you think this is involved in the Boston investigation?
Because, as I understand it, both of the brothers used AT&T to begin with. There you have people, you have targets that you know, and so you would start doing what's called a community of interest. You'd start finding out who their friends and who their friends' friends are. But second of all, these are 20-something guys who live off their cell phone, and Verizon Network Business Services is more your business customer. And, you know, even in the kind of wilder theories about who is behind the Boston Marathon attack, about the ties that Tsarnaev brothers might have beyond, I mean, you know, Chechen extremists aren't going to have a Verizon business service account, right?
Unlikely.
You could argue that maybe Russian businesses here in the United States would, but even there, you would expect a more specific warrant. You know, you would expect if you saw a warrant to AT&T Wireless, that might make sense because that would capture all of the people who were in their chain of calls. But that's, you know, maybe that warrant, maybe that order exists, but that's not what we're looking at.
All right. Now, and I know you've got to go in a couple minutes, but the reason this is kept secret, In other words, now we know that at least NBC is reporting that there's an expectation that Greenwald, to the extent that he has not already been investigated or secretly subpoenaed his records in the past, can expect that now in some respect, if history is any type of indication. Why is this stuff so secret? In other words, if there's nothing wrong with it, if we should not be worried about this collection, because it just, you know, says where we are and who we call, but it's not, we don't know what, supposedly the government doesn't know what we're saying on these calls. Why is this secret? In other words, is there anything operational now? Now that this is out in the open, is there anything, have we, given our enemies, some type of clues as to what we're doing? And why is this secret?
For one really simple reason, any Verizon business, Verizon network business customer can now go to the Supreme Court and say, I guarantee you that they collected my call data. And what the secrecy has always prevented by design up until now is to allow anybody to get standing to challenge this collection in court. There was just a case, Clapper versus Amnesty, where even though, people, international journalists and lawyers who represent terrorists went before the court and said, I've got a really good suspicion that they're collecting my calls based on the profiles we know that they're collecting. Supreme Court basically said, no, you're just speculating. You have no proof that you have been caught up in this dragnet. Well, now we have proof. And I think that is a testament to the degree to which the government may say this is useful. They may say that it's been bought off on by Congress, which is true, and a court operating in secret without antagonistic challenges. But they seem to have a great deal of question about whether a court with full discovery and full antagonistic challenge would actually approve of this program.
All right.
And so this prevented people from doing that.
This to me is the This to me is the most important aspect of this. I mean, there were cases out, I know, and I think it was in San Francisco, where accidentally people who had been spied upon were given records that they were spied upon, and they were using that as standing. This essentially means that the reason why this has been made secret is really just a way of denying Americans a chance to contest this policy in court.
Yes, because, I mean, and it's also, I mean, Verizon, I think, is having a bad day. I think a lot of their customers are going, you know, and they may lose customers, but chances are good that whoever they move to, they're also being collected as well. But the point is that, I mean, even Al Haramain, who you referenced, who had proof that they had been illegally wiretapped, they got to prove standing, sort of, but there was never an opportunity for the court to say, and it was also, this was after the program was done, so it might have presented an opportunity for the court to say retroactively that it was illegal. But this, I think, presents an opportunity, possibly, for somebody to go before, you know, ultimately it'll go before the Supreme Court, and the court will say, no, this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Mm-hmm. And that's what the government for years has prevented very successfully.
I mean, I think that's the major story that could end up coming out of this revelation. Lastly, I mean, I know this is hard for you to comment on, but when they hoover up all this information, can they really successfully find anything from it? I mean, do we have any evidence in the past that they have, or is this just, you know, we're doing this because it's CYA?
Dianne Feinstein, in the I think it was last December or so, when Mark Udall and Ron Wyden were trying to force at least the interpretation they're using, Section 215, she kept saying, oh, there are 100 cases where they've used this. Now, she, but in none of those cases has the government put forward proof that they identified the suspect via this kind of data analysis. So if they've used it, it's still secret. I mean, if they've succeeded in finding a terrorist this way, they're keeping it secret from us.
And if they've been keeping it secret because they don't want anyone to know that we're doing this so that they can't have standing to challenge it, that cat's out of the bag. So now it should be, you know, basically all bets are off. They can now tell us all the times that they've saved our lives from this.
Yeah, they can, but even, you know, Eric Holder is testifying before the Senate Appropriations Committee, and he said, well, I can't discuss any of this publicly. The administration put out completely contradictory talking points that no journalist should print without laughing at. You know, it's very clear that they're going to try to do what they have done from the start, which is issue non-denial denials and issue contradictory information.
Marcy Wheeler.
So, I think I got to go now.
Yes. Thank you so much. You can check her out at emptywheel.net. Hopefully we'll see you at Netroots Nation.
Thanks, Sam.
All right. Bye, Marcy. Thank you. All right, folks. This point of standing cannot be underestimated. You are going to now see a ton of legal challenges to this entire regime that you could not have in the past. Now, it's quite possible that, you know, as this thing winds its way up, wherever, I would imagine within days, we're going to see court cases filed. And this will take a long time to wind through the courts. But it just goes to show you just the incredible importance of this. That this document now, and it's been, as far as I know, no one is denying the authenticity of this being an order, a court order. So you're going to see a lot of court cases coming out of this, and it's going to be fascinating to see, because this could very well be the beginning of the end of this process, or at least this one narrow silo. And so incredibly important, incredibly important. Well, I think we should just go to the better half of the program now. We're doing a little bit early, but, you know, what are you going to do, folks? That's just the way
Maybe they should become a member.
Maybe you should become a member, because coming up, we're going to talk about why I believe the grand bargain is got a fork in it now.
Done.
It's been ill. It's been stumbling around. But I think the fork is in it right now, and not the least of which reason, because the ideas of, even if you bought into the cut, we need to cut the deficit narrative, which I don't and didn't, but if you were one of those institutions or players that did, by all accounts, mission accomplished for you. Now, you also probably have to wake up and look in the mirror and say, oh, we seem to have really hurt the economy, and it's now starting to, we're starting to see signs that it's beginning to degrade now at even a faster rate. We got that sequester, and that sequester is only going to get worse. Job growth is anemic now. But I doubt they'll have that moment of looking in the mirror. They just may back away from the mirror and walk on down. Also, I will get to this George Bush. I don't know.
You must.
I don't know what to. It's a piece. Where was it? New York Magazine?
It was in Huffington Post.
Huffington Post. It's about George Bush biking with some vets who basically tell me I did right. They didn't say that exactly, but I could read it in their eyes.
I can infer it from them.
I was looking in their eyes, and I could see right through their retinas into their souls. Also, we'll talk about these new report by college Republicans, I guess, basically coming to the conclusion that their party sucks and nobody likes them who's under the age of 40. We'll get to this atheist story in Arizona.
I love that story.
We'll do a random rush. Oh, and I think I may be taking far too much pleasure in this, but Jeremy Scahill schooled, I don't know really any other way to put this, Torrey from the, what is that show, The Five?
The Cycle?
The Cycle, The Five, the five Cycle.
The Fox version.
The Fox version.
There's another potential name for that show, which you will find out about.
Oh, right. Yeah, Jeremy Scahill also. This is sound that you're going to want to hear. And you will if you are a member of this program, which you can become by going to majority.fm and signing up to become a member of this program.
This is a packed member show today, especially. I mean, you got it. We'll do a random rush, too, probably.
Right. 646-257-3920 is the number. You can also support this show by buying your Amazon crap through our Amazon link, which we also have on the front page of majority.fm. All right, folks, tomorrow, Friday, Cliff Schechter will be on the program, and I guess it's time for Matthew Film Guy.
It is, yes.
Very exciting. All right. See you in the better half.
I give her my love, she says no, 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 no. I give her my heart, she says no, 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 no. 'Cause you're only a friend to me, only a brother to me. Says no, 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 no. Just a little dog, and she knows I love her so. If I ask her to walk with me, she shakes her head at me. I'm pretty little doll who said no, 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 no. All the night time through she said no, 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 no. If I ask her to walk with me, why can't she ever see? Ask her to walk.